WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In January 1692, in Salem Village, Massachusetts, two young girls began to suffer from inexplicable fits. So began the Salem witch hunts, the subject of countless books, films, and plays. Historian Mary Beth Norton has written a new history of the crisis, which looks for answers in unexplored territory.
As a longtime reviewer, I've called plenty of books spellbinding, but it seems in bad taste to apply that fitting term to Mary Beth Norton's new book, In the Devil's Snare. After all, this is an account of people who were condemned to death because other people accused them of casting spells. So instead of spellbinding, I'll call Norton's chronicle dazzling, even suspenseful. In the Devil's Snare is a new history of the 17th century Salem witch hunts, that year and a half long frenzy of trial by gossip in and around Salem, Massachusetts, in which 144 people were formally charged with being witches. By the time the trials were over, 20 of the accused had been put to death. The Salem witch hunts have always been inherently fascinating, but In the Devil's Snare is gripping to read for a whole other reason. Through meticulous research, encompassing geological charts, land records, personal letters, public sermons, and of course, the surviving trial documents, Norton enacts the role of the historian as detective. Ultimately, she arrives at a plausible, fresh hypothesis that addresses the enduring mystery of why so many villagers in Salem in 1692 began to suffer from what were thought of as supernaturally induced fits, and why the traditionally skeptical judges who presided over the witchcraft trials were so eager to believe them. Norton is a renowned scholar of American women's colonial history, and she was initially attracted to the Salem case because so many of the major players were women, particularly very young women and women of the lower or servant classes. For a short but remarkable time then in Salem, girls ruled. But as Norton researched the backgrounds of the female accusers, and particularly the 38 men in the throng they named as being witches, she began to see a startling pattern emerge. To her own surprise, she tells us in her introduction, the book she eventually wrote on Salem turned out to be a dual narrative of war and witchcraft. Norton discovered that most of the chief so-called witches and their victims had connections to a recent two-decade-long frontier war in Maine that's all but unknown now. Called then the Second Indian War, and by historians these days King William's War, this armed conflict pitted the native Wabanaki Indians in league with the French against British settlers. The contemporary survivors' accounts, Norton quotes, of families of men, women, and children being enslaved, hacked to death, or roasted alive by the Wabanakis are all but too gruesome to stomach. But what's intriguing, Norton says, is that this imagery of enslavement, dismemberment, and burning explicitly surfaces in the testimonies of the female accusers, some of whom were refugees from the Maine frontier resettled in Salem. Satan, significantly, was described by most of the tormented as looking like a dark man, a 17th century term for an Indian. Additionally damning is the fact that some of the alleged male witches had been directly responsible for wartime blunders that had cost relatives of the accusers their lives. The prominent judges at the witchcraft trials, Norton reminds us, were the very men who led the colony both politically and militarily. They therefore had an investment in believing that their lack of success in combating the Indians could be explained without reference to their own failings. If God had providentially caused the wartime disasters, and he had also unleashed the devil on Massachusetts, then they bore no responsibility for the current state of affairs. Norton's revisionary thesis about Salem is that the witchcraft crisis has to be read in the context of a forgotten war and of its impact on the collective fearful and embattled mentality of the region. Norton is anything but a sensationalist. In fact, In the Devil's Snare owes much of its narrative power to her stark and substantive assemblage of facts. So I hesitate to praise her book by saying that it has some of the impact of Edgar Allan Poe's short story, The Purloined Letter. By the end of In the Devil's Snare, Norton, the master historian detective, has pointed to a glaring clue about the origins of the Salem witchcraft crisis. It was there out in the open all along, in the diaries, letters, and official documents of the period. All Norton had to do to locate the missing link was to think like a Puritan.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed In the Devil's Snare by Mary Beth Norton.